Begin at verse number 24. God is so good to you and I. Isaiah 28, chapter 28, verse number 24. I'm going to read down to verse number 26. It says, doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Of course, that's a question mark. It's one of those questions in the Word of God that there's actually, you know the answer already. Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cummin, and cast him the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Now in Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12, is another familiar portion of Scripture about farming, if you will, plowing, breaking up the ground. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name and we thank you for your holy word that is forever settled in heaven. And we ask you, Lord God, to add unto your word tonight as we share this message. Move our hearts, move our souls, move our minds, Lord, to fulfill your will on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor, because we thank you for this great salvation. And we thank you for this privilege of prayer through Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. These two portions of Scripture are talking about preparation. They're talking about response to what God is doing and what God is wanting. That's why they're very good for you and I, because we want to make sure our mind frame is seeking out what God is wanting in these last days. I appreciate what Sister Sarah was saying as she was testifying, so to speak, of what God was speaking to her, and being mindful and just being ready to do whatever God's wanting to do. We sing a chorus from time to time. Don't, Lord, don't do it without me. I want to be right there with you. I want to be sensitive to you. I want to be aware of you. I want to make sure that I've prepared my heart. I've prepared my mind. I've prepared my soul for when you begin to bring forth those things that we need, those things that I need. Amen. So that's what these scriptures are talking about and bringing about the reality. Of course, the plowman plows all day so he can sow. And of course, he breaks up the clods of his ground so that the ground will be good. And of course, and when it says in verse 25, says, when he hath made plain the face thereof, in other words, he has smoothed it down to where there's a perfect bed in the ground for the seed to be thrown there. Now, I was raised on a farm, worked on a farm for many years. I used equipment getting ready to plant crops. And when I was there, we didn't have near the fancy equipment they have now. As time rolled on, they began to realize the less you can travel over a piece of ground, the better off you're going to be for a seed bed. Because while I was working there, usually to get that ground in shape, we'd run over it with a chisel, and it's something that tore up the ground. And then we'd run it over it with a disc. It was something that chopped up the ground. And then we'd run over it with a cultipacker, which is something that would condition the ground and make it flat and smooth. That's three times over the field, if you counted as I was sharing that. now they have one piece of equipment that does every one of those things in one pass with a big four. And it's about 30. Used to, it'd take 3 or 4 hours to run over a particular portion. Now it's just about 30 minutes. So that was a small portion. But yet we were still after the same thing. Making the ground fit for the seed. Praise God. And I'd like to preach tonight just for a little while on the supernatural seed. Amen. Not just wheat, but principal wheat. Not just barley, but the barley God sends. Amen. Not just plain old rye, but the rye of the Word of God. The supernatural seed. But the key to getting seed to grow, number one is preparation. Number two is rain. Now you notice that we talked about that in these two portions of Scripture. It talked about the great effort for the preparation of the ground. And then it made that statement in verse number 26 in Isaiah there, chapter 28. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. In other words, God taught man the right thing that needs to be done for natural farming, but also for spiritual farming, if you will. Also for the supernatural seed, and instructs him to discretion. Discretion means that I'm going to pay attention to what I'm doing to make sure I am doing it right. That's what righteousness means, just simply doing it right. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but for every situation and every circumstance of life, there is a right way to deal with it. There's a right way to respond to it. There's a right way to work in it. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible instructs you and I to walk in righteousness. It's the right way. And in Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. In other words, make sure that you're doing what's right and what you have heard from God, what you've been taught of God, what you know of God. Make sure that you're sowing that righteousness. Not just hearing it, but sowing it. That's, you know, that's the reality of not being a hearer of the word only, but being a doer of the word. That's sowing in righteousness. But then it goes on to say to go ahead and break up your fallow ground. There's areas in my life, there's areas in your life that we've not even touched about sanctifying before God. That's the fallow ground. That's them areas we don't want to talk about. That's them areas we don't want the preacher to preach about. That's those areas when the preacher does preach about it, he's meddling now. I've even actually had an individual tell me many years ago that if I preach something that I already know what the problem is, that I shouldn't preach it because I know what the problem is. Do you realize that all the epistles that Paul wrote, he wrote because he knew what the problem was? So if your pastor gets to preaching where you're living, because that's what he's supposed to do. If he's preaching where everybody else is living and never touches you, then he's not preaching what he should be preaching. Because he should touch every one of us, including me. Praise God. I'm my pastor. You will. I mean, you know, what I preach, I've got to do it. I've got to live it. It's for me. Praise the Lord. If you don't want any of it, that's fine. I want all of it. Praise God. I want what God wants to give to you and I. Amen. So here it is then. We are sowing to ourselves in righteousness. We're reaping in mercy. But yet at the same time, we've got to break up our fallow ground. Those areas that we may not even realize need to be changed. But all of a sudden, God's Word begins to be revealed. And then God's Spirit begins to work. And then it is my responsibility to begin to seek it out, to break up the fallow ground, the hard ground, the hardness of heart, the turning of the deaf ear. That's what that scripture is talking about. And for it's time to seek the Lord. When it's time to seek the Lord, that means I'm ready to hear what God's got to say about my life. so that the supernatural seed can take root and grow. What is that? God's word can become the way I live my life. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what church service is all about. That's what the house of God is all about. That's what God's word is all about, that I can have some fruit in my life to perfection. In other words, I've not apprehended yet. I've not made it to heaven yet. I've not found the place where I'm perfect yet. So that means I am still growing, still going, still pressing along to glory land. Hallelujah. And as I'm pressing along, God's wanting to bring forth, and we preached about it already in a different direction, He's wanting to bring forth fruit in our lives, and that fruit is God's word becoming alive and in action. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. And that's why, you know, yeah, I mean, you can probably start pointing out any faults and failures you see in me, and I'll guarantee you that they're But if God starts pointing out those faults and failures to me, then it's time to break up fallow ground and seek the Lord and get the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're pointing them out in me, then you're just being critical. If I'm pointing them out in you, I'm just being critical. But if we're just sharing God's word and God's pointing them out as we're preaching, then it's time to break up fallow ground. It's time to do something. It's time to prepare the heart for what God is saying. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Because God speaks all the time. But how many realize we don't hear all the time? We don't listen all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can tell my students a lot of times, I can run through math problems and run through math tests, and I can give them every answer, and they forget them. That's why I don't mind giving them to them. Sorry, guys. Because I know they'll forget them. I want to give them a chance. I want to give them an understanding. I want to show them how to do that math. But they've got to remember it. And so I really don't have a problem showing them all how to do it. That's what a teacher does. But it's their responsibility to prepare the ground and remember what they were told. Woo, praise God. Oh, there's one of them over here, too. I'll point that way. Yeah, the guys are over here. Okay, praise God. Amen. Prepare. You got to prepare the ground. You got to prepare the heart. You got to prepare the mind. You got to remember. I mean, I've come to those places in my life I couldn't remember for the life of me. Sometimes you just forget. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He helps us remember. He really does. Young people, get full of the Holy Ghost and really get serious about serving God. He'll help you remember that stuff. He will. If you're serious about it. If you're just whining and crying and hoping He'll help you pass that test, He won't. But if you're whining and crying and helping, asking Him to help you study harder than you ever have in your entire life, He will. When you're ready to put forth the work and the effort and the power of your mind into doing whatever you're doing for the Lord will help you. You just come, say, Lord, help me. You haven't done one thing to prepare. Sorry. Chapel again. Praise God. Luke chapter number 8. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 8, verse number 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And this is the funny part, verse number 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? I've been there. How about you? I mean, God's moving, the power of God's moving, and you're still wondering, God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? And he's already said it 3 or 4 times, and we're still wondering, what, God, what are you trying to tell me? We're disciples, amen. And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Supernatural seed. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So we gotta send out the word continually. We gotta live the word continually. And some are just not going to pay attention to it. Some are just not going to want it. But that's besides the point. It's not a matter whether they want it or not. It's a matter of whether we're giving it. Giving it. It's supernatural seed. Hallelujah. And so we see then some just not going to believe because they're listening to the lies of the enemy. And they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. I just want to stop right here. You do realize it was the same seed for everybody. It was the same seed the sower was sowing to everybody involved. But the difference came to those who prepared their heart, who prepared their mind, who prepared their soul, who had that ground broke up and those clods busted and had made it plain and smooth so that when the seed came, it could take root and begin to grow. So it's not different seed. That's why we hold to the King James Version Bible, because we don't need a new one. It's the seed that has been sown for hundreds of years, and it has brought forth fruit in multiple lives. So it's not the seed that needs to change, it's the hearts that need to change, because the seed is still right. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Praise God. Because it's the hearts that need to change. It's the hearts that need to prepare. It's the hearts that need to labor and begin to do whatever it takes to make them where they can receive the seed. Now, notice different things that kept the heart from being prepared. One, they'd rather listen to the devil than listen to God. We got multitudes of those in America today. Two, there are those that are hard-hearted, and they don't mind hearing good preaching, and they'll shout amen, but they have no desire to change in their lives at all. I've met a bunch of them. And then there are those that fell among the thorns, and that's the people that they know it's right, they know it's good, they want it in their lives, but not bad enough to push out everything else. And then there are those who are making sure there's not a thorn, there's not a weed, there's not a care, there's not a riches, there's not pleasures of life that is going to keep them from drawing nigh to God. They are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They are not after their own passions. Sister Sarah, as you was talking about earlier. In other words, they're not seeking out how they're going to serve God. They're not seeking out what they think they want to do for God. They're not looking for the limelight. They're not looking for prestige. They're not looking for a pat on the back. They are just looking for the Word of God coming their way so they can conform to it and walk with God. And in that process, God's using them mightily. And they're not even realizing He is. Praise God. That's the men and women God's looking for. Because that's the ones that will bring forth that fruit under perfection. Praise God. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest, there's a key word, honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. It's a good heart. It's an honest heart. You know what it means to have an honest heart? That means you're ready to call sin what the Bible calls sin. And if God calls it out on you, then you're going to call it sin too. That's an honest heart. Hallelujah. And a good heart is a heart, once again, that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They want to hear God's word. They want that seed coming their way because they want to be fruitful for God because they are so thankful and so glad that they're redeemed by love divine, that they've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and have received of that power. I love them songs tonight. Hallelujah. Now you know why I love them songs, because they go right along with what I'm sharing here tonight about that supernatural seed, that Word of God, and how God is seeing to it that it's brought our way. In Luke chapter number 4, verse number 3, says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Praise our God. Here comes the enemy trying to make Jesus do a miracle. I want you to take note who it was that was trying to make Jesus do a miracle. It was the devil. You may fall out with me, but pay attention. You do not ever command God to do anything. But the Bible says you can ask. This group that goes around commanding God and telling God what to do. Now, who was it that tried to make Jesus do something? All right. I think you got the picture. Praise our God. Hallelujah. And what did Jesus do? Didn't give him the time of day. Just let him know that I don't need the bread. I don't need the miracle because I've got God's word. Hallelujah. I'm serving Him and not you. Hallelujah. He's not serving me. I'm serving Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see it's the Word of God that is what? The most important part of your life. A lot of times we think it's our food. I do. I like my food. It shows. Praise God. But the most important thing is the supernatural seed. Hallelujah. The Word of God. That is what we must pursue and put in priority in our lives. Hallelujah. This is why we need, I'll just preach on here. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 2, Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He says, "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Epistles. Known. seen. What is that? That's God's word put in our hearts, quickened or made alive by the Holy Ghost, to where it produces fruit or action visible in our lives. Visible. Are you a visible Christian? Are you an invisible Christian? Now, wait a minute. I don't think there is such a thing. Because if you're a Christian, your light is going to shine. It's going to be seen of all men. They should see Christ. They should see love. Hallelujah. Love is my song. In other words, love is my pattern. Love is my way. Hallelujah. And then love, what is love? Long-suffering. Well, we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and man, we can bear down. Hallelujah. But are we living it? Are we displaying it? Hallelujah. This is what God is after with the supernatural seed of God's word, is to bring transformation in my life. Transformation in your life. Hallelujah. I mean, these pre-K students are becoming to that age where they're singing Power in the Blood with passion. I'm sorry, but I'm standing up here and I'm watching the congregation. I can't help but keep coming back to this little guy up here who is doing his best to worship God, who is doing his best to do what he knows he needs to be doing in the house of God. That is a transformation. Hallelujah. That is a transformation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's all happening because God's word is coming to him in school. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're having to turn away some. We just don't have the power nor the capacity right now. I said right now. Praise God. But that's really where I want to catch them in school. And I don't mind the older students, but if you can grab them in pre-K and take them all the way through 12th grade in a Christian education, you've accomplished great things. We've only had two students that we was able to do that with. But it makes a difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now back to the message. Smith Wigglesworth, talking about God's word, he said, God's word is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in application, inspired in totality. We should read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and pass it on. The word of God changes a person until he becomes an epistle of God. The scripture we just read. The word transforms the mind, changes the character, and gives us an inheritance in the spirit until we are conformed. God coming in, dwelling in us, walking and talking through us. There is no God like our God. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God. Reference to 1 John 4 and 16. God wants to take ordinary men and bring them into extraordinary conditions. God has room for the thirsty man who is crying out for more of God. It is not what we are, but it is what God wants us to be. Beloved, let us rededicate ourselves afresh to God. Because he has the supernatural seed that is going to bring forth the divine nature of Christ into our lives. We are transformed as we receive the seed, that supernatural seed, as we receive God's word as the way of life, guess what happens in our life? It is transformed from sinner to saint. Hallelujah. It is transformed from unrighteousness to righteous. It is transformed from unholy to holy. As God's word is received. The moment I begin to reject the supernatural seed, I got to back up here then in the condition of these hearts and see which one that is. If I begin to reject God's word, I'm already back up to that in the pathway where the devil comes and steals it away. And I'm giving more honor to the devil than I am to God. Oh, we don't want to think of it like that. We just want to think of, well, we have choices. We're a creature of choice. And, you know, God's word is so vast, so if we miss some of it, it's okay. I got a question for that. Is that hungering and thirsting after righteousness, or what is that? If I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I'm looking for whatever he's bringing my way. And I'm ready to conform to it. A contrite spirit. A humble heart. And I'm closing. The supernatural seed has to take root before it will grow. It has to be received with all my heart before it will become. The old cliche, that's just the way I am, don't cut it with God. We can use it for an excuse down here, but it's not a very good one. Because my reply to that, and to myself, I find myself there too. If that's the way I am, then I need to change. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. Could I have a piano player back? The supernatural seed of God. Aren't you thankful that it comes to us continually? God continues to speak to us as we pick up his word, hunger and thirst after it, as the preacher preaches, as the Sunday school teacher teaches. Hallelujah. Sunday school is one of the greatest parts of Sunday. The only time I've ever missed Sunday school is when I started pastoring and someone else was teaching the Sunday school class, and I used that time to pray and continue to prepare. For the longest time, even pastoring, I taught the Sunday school class also. At our first church, everybody was always in Sunday school. The whole congregation. Wasn't very big, but they were all there. Because Sunday school is a vital, important part of your Christian life. Because that is when you really get saturated with the Word. And that should be the most important thing in your life, is the Word. And Sunday school is where it just takes a subject and starts expounding upon it from God's Word. Preaching is a focus to a decision and a point in time. But teaching, and of course you may have noticed already, a lot of my preaching is incorporated with teaching. Because that's what's going to make the difference of what kind of Christian I am. Whether I'm bringing forth the fruit God's wanting out of my life, it all depends on what I'm doing with this supernatural seed. Amen. Praise God. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. And I thank you for the mercy that you have shown unto my soul. God, and the mercy you're showing to Calvary Lighthouse Church. I thank you for your word, Lord God, and I want to cling to it. I love it, oh God. I want to hunger and thirst after it. And I pray, stir our hearts, stir our minds. Lord God, help us to serve you, Lord God, to the fullness of our capacity as we give ourselves wholly into your hands, fresh and anew. Praise our God. Let's come around the altars tonight. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's find us a place to praise. Let's find us a place where God's word can begin to move me refresh and anew, to stir a hunger that I might know more about my Lord.
Speak to your people, Lord. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear